Is there anyone looking unto you and waiting for a word this morning? Is there anyone who has come this morning and hoping that you will say something to their situation? Father, let such soul be comforted this morning, because you will address that which concerns them. Lord, you will speak concerning them this morning. Lord Jesus, they will apply your word to their lives, and it will bring them results in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because no life that is under my voice this morning will go out the same. Father, you will elevate your people. You will take them to another level, and you will bring the beauty of your glory out of their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the special grace of God, this morning we are looking at the church, the threshing floor. The church, the threshing floor. It may be like I'm speaking Greek to many of us. We may not know what a threshing floor is. After all, we live in a first world where farming is mechanized. So we may not know what threshing floor is. But I believe that by the time I finish this morning, we will have an understanding of what a threshing floor is. And I believe that that is what God will do in your life today. He will thresh out the chaffs and bring out your beauty in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your Bible with me into 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of what? Of truth. What is the truth? The word of God is the truth. And what is the word of God? That is Jesus. Before I start, how many of us know what a threshing floor is? How many of us know what a threshing floor is? How many of us here? So none of us knows what a threshing floor is. Hey. In my high school days, you know what we call people like you? We call you ajebotas. Praise the Lord. People who eat butters and just enjoy yourself. So you don't know what threshing floor is. Okay. Let's start from that. You see, I happen to know what a threshing floor is because I've participated in it. And these days, what happens is this. The farmers still have to thresh their grains. You know, when you harvest wheat, what happens is this. There's a process of separation of the wheat from the chaff. But it's done so mechanically that you don't know that it happens. It just goes into the machine. The machine takes the dirt into one side and then removes the grain and put it in, you know, the good grain and put it on the other side. It used to not be like that. In the past, what used to happen is this. When farmers grow grains like sorghum, millet, what have you, what happens is this. At the end, when it is time to harvest, the farmers will go and harvest it. When they harvest it, most times they store it. You know, the Bible was talking about the one that sows with weeping, coming back home with sheaves with him. You see, those grains are harvested in sheaves. So what happens is this. They then bring the sheaves in. They choose an appointed day and bring in the sheaves. Usually the threshing floor is a stone. Some, with modernization, you have cement surfaces. that is clean, very clean and smooth. So you bring in the sheaves, and what happens is the farmers will get flat stick, flat, you know, and they start to hit the sheaves. They will beat the corn. They will beat the, what do you call it, the wheat. They will beat the sorghum. They will beat everything out of it so that they can separate the chaff from the good ones. And what happens is that after you've beaten it, they pack everything and they blow it. You know, they wait for when the wind is blowing. And usually they just stay on a high surface and start to pour it on another surface downward. And as they are pouring it down, what happens is that the wind will just blow away the chaff. And so they are able to harvest their crop and get the clean one. So we are talking about the church being a threshing floor. The church being a threshing floor. In other words, the church can be compared to the threshing floor where there is a separation. And the Bible just told us this morning that the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. And when you are washed by the word of God, when you come in contact with the word of God, what happens is that God begins to separate you. God begins to make a difference between you and the world around you. Okay. I'm sure we all know the meaning of church. What is the meaning of church? Church, ecclesia, the called out. So in other words, it's the same thing as the people who are separated unto him. The people who are called out. The people who have been taken out, you know, from wherever they are. So in other words, we say the church, the ecclesia, as a threshing floor. It is not a thrashing floor. Nor is it a thrashing floor. It's not a thrashing floor. Trash. And it's not a thrashing floor. It is a threshing floor. And the Lord will thresh us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Many of us don't want to answer. I think he will thresh us this morning in Jesus' name. He will bring out the beauty in our lives. Because that is what church is meant to be about. Church is not just a place where we associate with brethren and just, you know, felicitate and clap and dance and go. It's a place where God is going to be doing something, changing something. It's a place where God is manufacturing something. It's a place where God is working something. It's a place where God is correcting something. It's a place where God is building something. It's a place where God is beautifying something. And that is your life. God is going to beautify your life today. God is going to refine your life today. And the only thing that can refine one's life is the word of God. A lot of people have gone to church and they find it as a thrashing floor. They find it as a thrashing floor. Where you just dump anything, where anything goes. And I'm telling you, a lot of people find their hearts grieved. Because the beauty of the church is being lost. The beauty of the life of people who go to church is being lost. But this morning, the Lord will restore our beauty in the mighty name of Jesus. The church is not a place where we are supposed to come and rot and rust. No. What did I say earlier on? When you come in contact, when gold comes in contact with fire, what happens to it? It becomes more beautiful. Why does gold become more beautiful when it comes in contact with fire? Why? Because the impurity is taken off. The gold is heated at a very high degree. And every impurity in it gets burnt. Every impurity in it gets burnt and is removed. So that by the time the goldsmith is pouring the gold out of it, you see it's a shiny gold. And that is where after you have worn your ring or worn your gold for a long time, you find out that it's getting dirty again and you have to get something to you know, rub on it and shine it again. That is what the Word of God is supposed to do in our lives. We are not supposed to come in contact with God and remain and start to rust and rot. We are not meant to be in the same position we were 2 years ago. We were not meant to be in the same position we were last month. God is intending for us to climb and go and continue on a higher ground. He says, ministers, flames of fire, going from glory to glory. We should be going from glory to glory in our understanding of Him. We should be going from glory to glory in our experience of Him. We should be going from glory to glory in our ability to hear from Him. We should be going from glory to glory in our ability to prophesy. We should be going from glory to glory in our ability to pray. Nothing should remain the same. What did Paul say? He said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching on to those things that are before me. In other words, Paul is always pressing forward to move from glory to glory. He's never static. When we are static, we run the risk of moving backwards. In fact, you know, that's why some people define being static as backsliding, because God is always on the move. So even when you are static and God is on the move and you remain where you are backsliding actually, because you are not keeping pace with Him. We need to keep pace with God. And that is what the Word of God allows us to do. You know, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. A man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Bringing two iron together does not necessarily sharpen them. What is important is that there has to be a movement. And it's not just movement. The movement has to be at the right angle. What am I saying? In our walk with God, we have to walk with Him with an understanding. We have to walk with Him with an understanding. So if we stay in His presence and we are not looking at improving our understanding of God, it's the same thing when we walk with our friends. If we are not looking at how we can, you know, foster a kind of relationship that will bring about the beauty of God in our lives, then we are not starters. The church is a place of perfection. It's a place that God has designed to perfect His people. Am I lying? That's what it's designed to do. That's why it's a threshing floor. Can we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12? We all know this place very well. But I will just read it for emphasis. And His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, that is shepherds of His flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, His consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. So there is a perfection that God intends for us as individuals. There is a perfection that God intends for us as a church. God is not going to accept from us that we, look, let's just thank God that I'm still, you see, look, let me tell you something. Oh, you know, there are people who have even stopped going to church at all. Thank God. You see, I'm still even going. I think I've tried. Some people, I know lots of my friends, they even have stopped going because of the things they see in church. They've stopped going. Ah, thank God for my life. I'm still, at least I still go. Going is not enough. It's to be touched. It's to be refined. It's to have something done to you. He has to do something. Our sister was giving testimony earlier on this morning. And you know what she said? She said something. She said, there was this blind man. When they asked him, Who was it that healed him? He said, I don't know. You see, I don't know books. I don't know the law. I'm not a professor. I don't know anything. But one thing that I know, my experience, that nobody can take away from me. At least I knew that this morning when I woke up, I was blind. But as of this moment, I'm seeing you and I'm talking to you. Something definite has happened in my life. Something has changed in my life. It doesn't matter what name you call it. You are the people who know book. You are the educated ones. You are the, you know, you are the philosophers. You are the wise ones. But as for me, what is important to me is that somebody has touched me. And when he touched me, I know that I came in here blind. When he touched me, something happened in my life and I started seeing. What a testimony. What a testimony. Can we say that somebody has touched us? That I was there before. This was where I was. And I'm no longer there now. This is the way I used to live my life. But I no longer live my life that way anymore. This used to be my desire. But do you know what? They are no longer my desire anymore. Look. My attention has changed. My focus has changed. Oh, those things used to mean a lot to me before. I'm no longer taking those things seriously. Oh, look, I used to be easily irritated before. But you know, since I met Christ, I'm no longer like that before. Oh, all that I cared about were the material things before. But when I met Jesus, something has happened in my life. And those things, they don't mean as much to me anymore. Can we sincerely say that as a mark of a touch from the Father? As a mark of a touch from the Lord? As a mark of a touch from His Word? Can we sincerely say that? That is when we can start to say, look, we have really met the Lord. He has done something in our lives. The church has a threshing floor. Do you know what? People are needed in the threshing floor, including the threshing floor of God. When the sheaves come to the threshing floor, they don't beat themselves and remove the chaff on their own. It is people who use the stick to thresh them and bring out the beauty in those things, in those crops, in those cereals. And you know what? God needs you. After He has discipled you, He needs you to do something, to do His work in the life of other people. One of the things that I always pray to God for is that I don't want to do the things I do because I want to do it for the system. I want to do it because I want to please God. That everything I do so that I can please Him. Not to please man, not to be seen, not to satisfy myself, not to satisfy my own longing, but to do it so that God can say, look, this one has worked the work of faith. In other words, if I love, it is because He has said I should love. If I give, it is because He told me to build treasure in heaven. If I pray, it is because He asked me to pray without ceasing and to pray for all men, including kings and people in authority. It is because I'm doing everything in obedience to Him. If I do good, I should be doing good because He said, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. You know what I say? I always tell people, I said, knowing me should not be a disadvantage to you. In fact, that we come to the same church should not be a disadvantage to you. It should be what? It should be an advantage to you. To know that, that you know me. Should be an advantage. The Bible said, He said, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. A lot of times, knowing me may start to become a disadvantage to you. And it should not be so at all. Knowing me should be adding something to your life. Knowing me should give you an assurance that if the need arises, when you, after you have prayed that God should arise to help you, that he will lift up a brother who will help you. He will lift up the brother who will listen to you. He will lift up the brother who will be by your side. He will lift up a brother or a sister who will care. Not just care as a surface thing, but genuinely from within to show that I really care. Every threshing floor has a foundation. I've told you it's usually made of stones. And more than once will be made of smooth cement. They have an underlying surface, which is the foundation. It's usually a rock. Everyone who will do well with Jesus has to make Jesus the rock, his foundation, or her foundation. In other words, when everything comes, whatever we have to do, the reference point has to be him. He has to be the basis. We have to check with him. We have to make sure that it's in alignment with him. It's in agreement with him. We don't throw him out of the window when there are very important decisions to be taken. You see, our sister was talking about, you know, how God answers prayers. My wife would tell you this weekend, I find myself in a position that I didn't really like. And we prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed seriously. You know, I wasn't particularly, you know, very happy. And in this morning, I actually prayed about it also. And as I came to church, God just gave me a confirmation. I'm not just talking about just that witness in me. He gave me a physical confirmation. That is what God can do. If we go back to God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how dirty that thing is. It doesn't matter how terrible that situation is. It doesn't matter how impossible it may be. It doesn't matter whether you think there is a solution to it or not. Go to the Lord. Make him the foundation of your belief system. Make him the foundation of the life you live. So that there's always a reference point. You can always go back to him. You can always go back to him. As individuals, as a church, we have to make Christ the rock, our foundation. The Bible says he's the truth. He's and the life. You know what? Facts change, but the truth will never change. That is why a whole lot of times the police will mistakenly, they will take somebody to church, to court, they get convicted. They get convicted after 20 years. You see, this is why I don't support death penalty. After 20 years, they say new facts have emerged. And they then discover that they were not the one who actually committed the crime. Facts change. But let me tell you, from the one, has the person who committed the crime changed? No, the truth that God knows has not changed. The truth of what has happened has not changed. The facts may keep changing because the facts available to us depends on how much how much resources we have at our disposal. The Lord, the God who has called us remains the same. Like I always told us, the world has missed the truth. And the Bible says the foundation of the truth is in the church. When the world runs around, they should come to the church to find the truth. Do they find the truth with us? Today? If anything, what happens is the world dictates the pace. When the world tells us to jump up and down because of climate change, we are all scurrying around. When the world says so, I remember in those days of Y2K, there was a lot of investment. A lot of people canceled their traveling and everything almost came to a standstill. When the world dictates something to us, we will be running around. We should be the one dictating to the world. Do you know what? There was a time in Israel. There was a prophet called Elijah. He went before the king and said, "The Lord, before whom I stand, there will be no rain or dew on this land. For 3.5 years, there was no rain or dew on the land." Let me tell you something. When prophets like that speak, the world will jump. Instead of the dog wagging the tail is wagging the dog. That is our situation. And the Lord will restore the glory of the church in the mighty name of Jesus. But he's going to do it through you and I. He's going to restore the glory of the church through you and I. He's going to restore the glory of the gospel. He's going to become more... Look, it will become a beautiful thing for people to hear once again. Because there is power. There is power with the God whom we serve. Do you know what? No sheaves goes to the threshing floor and comes out the same. Once a sheaf hits the threshing floor, it doesn't come out the same. Except, look, it will be beaten until the beautiful things in it comes out. You will inspect it, you'll find, you'll be surprised. It will be clean. The chaff will be removed. And the grain will be carefully stored. That is what God wants to make of our lives. That is why he has sent you here this morning to hear what I'm saying. But you know what? The floor requires cleaning sometimes. A preparation, a good preparation of the heart ensures that the threshing floor is able to live to its bidding. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4 and 6. 4 to 6. Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 4 to 6. "I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field yield their fruit. And your threshing time shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage time shall reach to the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall fill you with dread or make you afraid. And I will clear ferocious wild beasts out of the land, and no sword shall go through your land." You need to understand harvesting time in the land of Israel. But what God is saying is this. He's saying that the harvest, your harvest will be so plenty if we prepare the heart. Your harvest will be so plenty that from the planting season to the next harvesting season, you'll be busy, you know, processing that which you have harvested. In other words, there will be no break. Your barn will be full. When the heart is right, when the heart is prepared, the threshing floor will be able to do its work. When our heart is prepared, God is saying, look, the rain will fall in its due season in your life. You will be at the right time. You will be at the right place at the right time. Things will begin to fall onto you in pleasant places. But when the heart is not right, you know what? It's even difficult to recognize the hand of God. God will bring some things in your way. You will not recognize it. But when the heart is right, look, when God is moving, you will recognize him. You will know that he's here. You will know he's the one creating the opportunities that are coming your way. The threshing floor needs cleaning. It needs preparing. Everyone that God used mightily came from a position of a prepared heart. Let's look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. Joshua 14, 6 to 9. He says, then the people of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout out the land, and I brought him a report as it was in my heart. But my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses saw on that day, surely the land on which your feet have walked shall be an inheritance to you and your children always, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Oh, it's so wonderful to have a prepared heart in walking with him. It's so wonderful to have a prepared heart. Caleb said, look, he said his heart was prepared. And that was why he was able to speak in faith. That was why he saw what everyone else saw. But his interpretation was different because he was seeing God that was greater than his situation. That can only come from a prepared heart. Everyone that God will use mightily must prepare their heart. There has to be a decision. There's a patient I see privately whom I reviewed yesterday. I've been seeing this woman since 2006. And there are some things, some of us know what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, you try to change somebody's thinking in order to change how they feel. I've been doing that with this woman for a long time. And each time she comes in, she talks about being helpless, you know, there's no solution and so on. So she came yesterday, and you know what she told me? She said, something just clicked. He said, I made a decision. I said, what did you say? He said, I made a decision. He said, and in fact, he said, my husband is so surprised some of the things I'm doing. He said, my husband did not believe I'm so strong that I just made a decision that those things will no longer thrash me on the floor anymore. And I said, what did you say? He said, I made a decision. I said, yes. A decision has to be made. A decision has to be made. Even as children of God, when the Lord makes us to identify something in our lives, a decision has to be made. And God will work with our decision. The Holy Spirit will work in agreement with us to perfect that which God wants concerning our lives. She took a decision. And I said, you know what? He said, yeah. I said, what about this? Have you done this? Have you done this? He said, no. I said, you need to take a decision also. If you took a decision concerning that thing in your life, and God has turned it around. And do you know what? When she first started seeing me, she said, look, oh, I've had bad experiences in church. I no longer go to church. I don't want to hear about. And a few months ago, when she came, she told me she started going to church. So, yesterday when she came, I took advantage of that and I shared with her the parable of the sower. No, it wasn't the parable of the sower. I shared with her, you know, the parable of the talents. And I told her about the person who was given one talent. You know the problem with the guy who was given one talent? You know, somebody was given five, somebody three, he was given one. The problem with him was that he wanted to be like the other persons. He wanted to be like another person. He said, look at this wicked man. He gave me just one. Somebody has five. Somebody has three. What have I done wrong? What have I done to deserve just one? And many of us are like that today. We want to be like the other person. And we're asking God, why am I not like this other person? Why am I not like that other person? And God is asking you, and he's asking me, that one that I gave you, what have you done with it? How well have you put it to use? Let's stop being like, trying to be like someone else. Let's be who we are in Jesus Christ. What God has given you, He wants to cause an explosion with it. And as we start to make use of it, God will just, you know, God will start to cause a growth to come. He might give you the gift of being able to care, and you feel frustrated. And you say, people don't appreciate me because I care too much. You keep doing it. Look, you can do it for 100 people, and it may look like people don't appreciate you, but God will raise that one person that will appreciate you, and God will wipe away your tears. You may be a giver, and you say, nobody gives to me in return. But the word of God says, men will give to my bosom. I've not seen that happen in my life. Go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Sow in the morning, sow in the evening, sow at night, sow every time. And you know what? God will raise somebody that will wipe away your tears. It is not because they want to do it. Have you heard people say they did something for someone and they didn't know when they did it? That, look, I didn't just know. I just felt like I should just do that for him. I didn't just know. I just felt like I should do that for her. God will just raise somebody. When we come to the threshing floor of the word of God, we have to depend on him completely. Joshua 24, verse 19 to 21. I will quickly read. Joshua 24, 19 to 21. Okay. It says, and Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. What is Joshua saying there? Joshua is telling the people that God is a jealous God. He wants our undivided attention. He wants us to pay attention to him, to what he says. He said, after he has done you good, he might have been blessing us, and doing us good. And we give testimony and thank God. He said, if we ever go back, he said, God will not be pleased. God will be pleased with you in Jesus' name. You know what? I learned the difference between jealous and envy during this week. You know the definition. Somebody said, to be jealous is the feelings you have when you know that something belongs to you, when it is yours. Because you belong to God, God is jealous for you. But envy is the feeling you have when you know something else belongs to someone else. It's actually their own, but you want it for yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I see a man just, you know, cuddle my wife and hold her too, I become jealous because I know she's mine. It's quite different from when I see somebody ride their own car and they go. That's envy. You know, it's theirs. I know it's theirs, but I just wish it's mine. So God gets jealous for us because he's called you his own. And you mean so much to him. Praise the Lord. You know, some things happen on the threshing floor, which is the church. Remember I told you they use sticks or rods to beat out, to get the grains out. And what does the word of the church use? The word of God to refine and bring out beauty in us. In closing, because I don't want to overshoot time today. Like the threshing rods and the chaffs, like the threshing rods and the sticks will do, the chaffs are removed. So also, the Lord brings out the best out of you. And do you know the promise of God for you? I want us to quickly go to Exodus. You know, this place I've been reading lately. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. In closing, we're going to read verse 4. Listen to this. He said, "But the Lord shall make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, and nothing shall die of all that belongs to the Israelites." This was during the plague when God wanted to take out the children of Israel from Egypt. What did God say he would do? He said he would do what? He will make a distinction. Mark that word. He said he would do what? He will make a distinction between the livestock of the children of Israel and the livestock of the Egyptians. Go to the same Exodus chapter 10, verse 23. God is saying again, "The Egyptians could not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the Israelites had natural light in their dwellings." Again, God made a distinction. God made a distinction. Let's go to the same Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. He says, "But against any of the Israelites shall not so much as a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel." That was the last plague when God said he was going to wipe out the firstborn of the Egyptians. He said, "But concerning the children of Israel, not even a dog will die." So that you know God makes a distinction. This year, God will make a distinction between you and the people around you in the mighty name of Jesus. The threshing floor is a place of separation. The chaff from the wheat. The Lord will separate you unto himself this year in the mighty name of Jesus. You know what? When God starts to separate you, he will separate you from your diseases and your afflictions. He will separate you from your troubles and your sorrows. He will separate you from problems. He said, concerning the children of Israel, he said, "These plagues you will see with your eyes." And all those plagues came and afflicted the people of Egypt. And you know what? The children of Israel were spared. Darkness covered the place. But the Bible said there was natural light where the children of Israel were. I'm telling you, there's financial disaster in the world at this point. But some people are not going to be touched. The Lord will perfect your finance this year. You know what? Families are in turmoil as we speak. And we're saying, the culture has changed. But do you know what? The Lord will make a distinction between your family and the family of the world in the mighty name of Jesus. I say God will make a distinction between your marriage and the marriage of the world in the mighty name of Jesus. You know what? There are parents who are crying because their children are vagabonds. They live on drugs every day. But God is telling me to let you know this morning that he will make a distinction between your children and the children of the world in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord made a distinction. He separated the children of Israel. When you come to the threshing floor, there are benefits. The Lord will separate you from the afflictions around you in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just rise up? Can we just rise up and pray? Let us rise up this morning. Let's rise up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise this morning. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you because there is none like you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified in the earth. Be glorified in this temple of Jesus. Jesus, be thou glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified.